song that you really don't sing that much.
We got, Jerry Valley got new songs going, and they doubled the amount of songs.
Oh, man.
So, over 900. And we probably sang less than a quarter, but the new song leader for the last year started to introduce new songs like every other week.
Okay, amen.
So, we would have Fifth Sunday sings, and we would always sing two new songs.
Two new songs every time. Amen. That's good. I know that's something we probably could we could do better at. I know Brother Harbor, when he was leading songs, he would always introduce one that he was familiar with, but the church never really sang them, so we kind of get to sing a new hymn. But definitely something to get us out of that routine and that box of always singing the same ones, and that's my problem. My wife's looking at me like, yeah, you sing a lot of the same ones. I do. Some of them I just totally enjoy. I mean, like, I've Got a Mansion. I absolutely love that, especially on a really full Sunday morning, just singing that. And I'll tell you, you know, just as, you know, you hear pastors, and Brother Stan will agree with this, you know, pastors love to hear that, you know, amen and praise the Lord during messages. Well, for us as song leaders, there's nothing more, you just more encouraging and more just, you want to give more, is hearing the crowd sing to the best of their ability and singing, hearing a few hallelujahs and a few amens out there. It's just, I don't know, it's just awesome to hear, especially this morning was just amazing. And then tonight was even great, even just you guys here still sounded just great, so thank you for that. Amen. Well, it's good to see each and every one of you tonight, and I am happy to open the scriptures with you. And Pastor asked me on Friday if I was able to, give something to you guys tonight, because, of course, they're doing the fair. They're closing up shop, and I know it's been a good 10 days over there for those who have actually had the opportunity to be at the fair. I know it was a blessing for some. It might have been the first time, and that's okay, and that's good. You go to the fair, if it was your first time, you go to the fair with a heart that's ready and prayed up, because you're stepping into something that you're not really familiar with. You're kind of going to uncharted territories, but you're saying, Lord, I'm going to take that step and I'm going to do it. Help me through witnessing. Help me through handing out a tract. Help me through maybe a difficult situation that might occur during the fair. And you know what? And we passed with flying colors, amen. And I know, according to, I think, Pastor's notes, we saw 22 saved, I think it was. So now we have an opportunity with those 22 souls. I'm hoping that we took record of their, you know, names and phone numbers and addresses, whatever. Now the work starts where we have to get a hold of those people, get them into church, disciple them, so then they can continue on the work. So something that's been really burning in my heart is the fact that I've got a burden for young folks to fill these pews. Because if the Lord tarries and we're here for another 50, 60, 70 years, I'm going to be long gone. This church has to continue. Amen. And it cannot continue without young people in here ready to serve the Lord.
Right.
And I've just been burdened with that lately. We put this in perspective in business all the time. We say, okay, we got to really train up and bring up our new leaders to take over, right? We gotta create this plan, this action plan of developing the next manager, right, to take over our spot. I'm in that right now. I do that. I have someone that I am guiding, directing, and coaching to take my spot. I'm not going to be around forever. Somebody's going to have to take my spot because I want the company to continue on the road that it's going. Same applies for church. So, I don't know. You know, that's kind of been my burden lately. I know, look, just like I said not too long ago, if you take each one of these rows as a household, I mean, there's hundreds of households that are here and hundreds of households that are coming into North Idaho, right? So it's just been something I've been praying about, and that the Lord will just, I don't know, bring the young folks into this church, and that they can see that they have a place here, and they can serve here, and they can have fun here, and amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll look at verse 1 in particular. So as you've heard me in the past, have your fingers ready, right, and your limbers and all that ready to go, because we're going to be turning to a lot of scripture tonight, because just as I said in the past, as always, it's what this Bible says, it's what this King James Bible says that we need to be following, and I want you guys to really look at that. and see that. It's not coming from what I'm saying. It's coming from what the scripture says. And the Lord was kind of pressing on my heart. I was kind of going towards one direction, and then I ended up going another. And that's okay, because the Lord guides and directs on what should be taught or preached from this pulpit, right? And, of course, with our hearts being ready to receive what he has for us tonight. But my title of the message is Running the Race with Patience. And the last time I did have the opportunity to preach, I actually also taught on running the race, running the Christian race. And I thought, man, I just preached about this. But my whole emphasis is the word patience. In the context of this particular scripture, patience is more perseverance. But I'm looking at patience from a different angle. I'm thinking, man, we've got to be patient in this Christian life that we live in. Because we're all about, you know, getting stuff done. Like this morning, Pastor was like, can this microwave hurry up in 1 minute? I'm ready to eat, you know. Little things like that, we're very impatient. And so I started kind of doing my outline that way. And I was at the library on Saturday afternoon, kind of putting my notes together. And then the Lord's like going me a different direction. And I was like, okay, Lord, whatever you have for us, I'm ready to preach it. And amen. So running the race with patience in regards to being having perseverance. And perseverance is what? A continued pursuit to serve him. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dear Father, again, I do thank you so much for this evening. I do thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to be here tonight. And thank you for Pastor giving me that opportunity. And Father, I pray that you be with those men, Brother Gary and Brother John and Pastor, and I think Miss Jeannie's there as well. I pray that you just fare them a good evening as we rally the last mile, per se, with our going to be still hot. And I pray that everything be done safely, and then they can go home and rest. And Lord, we again just thank you so much for the last 10 days of the fair booth. Pray that we'll just use this and build upon it for the next years to come. And again, thank you so much for all you've done for us. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. So just a couple thoughts. Lay aside every weight. So I've got a few words highlighted in this particular verse 1 in chapter 12. First one is weight. The second one is sin. And the third one is patience. Running with patience. So weight. Let aside every weight. What is weighing you down tonight? What is ensnaring you from running that race that God has called you to? Is there any sin that's holding you back in your life tonight? Is there any sin that's kind of just besetting that needs to be fixed tonight? Is there anything in your life that is inhibiting you from serving the Lord 100% in your life tonight? Is there anything that is kind of just on your heart, on your mind, that you and only God knows that's not right, and it's causing that wall and causing that that relationship not to be there? Because God has more and bigger things for us, right? Doesn't he? He sure does. So just a few things in regards to, like, wow, yes, I mean, that verse is great, but yeah, I've got to set aside every weight. That weight can be different things, and we'll dig into that here in a little bit, but there's sin that abounds all around us, right? But we have a race to run. And I'm thinking, man, wow, that's a lot of weight, right? But then I look at the verse, the chapter prior, and look at Hebrews 11, and wow, praise the Lord. Look at all these men in that particular verse, right? The first verse, a cloud of witnesses. Wow, it's encouraging to know that they were faithful servants in chapter 11, you know, the chapter of faith. And we think of Abraham, his faith. We think of the faith of Isaac in verse 20 in chapter 11. We think of the faith of Jacob. We think of the faith of Joseph. We think of the faith of Moses. Now, do you know that per scripture and per the accounts of these men fell short, right? These men fell into, you know, difficult times. They fell into sin. They fell into different things. But you know what? The Lord still restored them, and they were still able to be used by God.
Okay, so take that particular verse 1 of chapter 12 and say, you know what, Lord? I can set aside every weight. I can set aside every sin. I can run this race with patience because, Lord, you called me to something to do, and that is to serve here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. So turn in your Bibles to Colossians and chapter 3 specifically. I'll get there myself. And we'll talk specifically, number one would be weights. Weights is anything that slows us down is a weight. And what do you think? Well, what slows me down? Well, if a weight in your life is left unchecked, eventually it becomes a snare and it can become sin, right? So look at Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 8 specifically. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, see that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Attachments to weight can lead us to make poor decisions, right? What kind of problems are you going through in your life today? Are you dealing with anger? Are you dealing with wrath? Are you dealing with malice? Are you dealing with blasphemy? Are you dealing with filthy communication in the workplace? Are you tolerating the filthy work communication in the workplace? Are you lying to your fellow co-workers or fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Those are weights that can hinder you, that can cause sin to not allow you to run this race with patience, right? But I love verse 2 says in chapter 3. It says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. God's will is more important than our personal ease or pleasure. Well, you know, I'm kind of dealing with a lot of anger issues, but the Lord knows. I'm working through it. I'm dealing with this particular sin, but the Lord is helping me through it. Well, how about you just give it to the Lord and move on? Get that weight behind you and move on. Whatever that might be. That could be something it could be something physical that you're doing. It could be something that you're dealing with spiritually, something you're dealing with with mental thoughts and other different things. Whatever that weight might be, number two, verse two, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above, and he can get you through those weights. Now you ask me, well, how can I run this race with patience? Number one is prayer, right? I mean, how convenient is that? Of course, Pastor is heavy in talking about a lot of prayer, of course, and it's vitally important for our Christian walk to be in prayer and to be in prayer consistently. And of course, you know, our theme for this year is pray without ceasing, and that's so important. And you guys know that prayer doesn't necessarily have to be always, I mean, it is good to have a set time for prayer, a specific time of things that you can be praying for, but you can pray anywhere, anytime, in any place, right? You can be praying in the car while you're traveling. You can be praying for any time. It doesn't matter. And it can be a prayer. It can just be talking to God. Like, you know, Father, I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with that and need your help here, but I definitely want to pray for, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so that's going through. It can be as easy as that. It's that communication and that prayer life that you have with our Savior. You're talking to your dad, just like you talk to your dad, right? You're just having a conversation with him, amen, and have that sweet fellowship with our Lord in the same way. So look at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4. Pastor mentioned this too. He said he preached and taught about Philippians and 2 years ago. I couldn't believe this, but when I taught Philippians in Sunday school, it was 2018. Like, man, time flies when we're having fun, amen? But look at chapter 4 and look at verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your mind, your hearts, and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 6, prayer and supplication is what we're looking at. I mean, we have prayer all the time here. And another thing that I'm really praying for, and maybe, you know, the Lord will answer this prayer, is that when we pray on Sunday mornings at 9:30, I'm praying that we'll actually have to use this room because there'll be too many people wanting to be here to pray before the services. That's my next goal there for that. Men, you guys get together, have a sweet time of prayer on Fridays. And Wednesdays, we get together with little groups, and we go over all the prayer requests from the church and our missionaries and different things that are going on. This church is soaked in prayer. I know Pastor stands heavily about the importance of being in prayer, and I stand 100% with him on that because we need to. You know, as a pastor and the deacon, we have to be 100% in together. And I am solely, fully supportive of him, specifically when it talks about prayer. And we need to. But I think that would be awesome if you guys are able to just get up a little bit earlier, be here, we're all right at 9:30. We get together, we just basically pray for the day. We pray for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We pray for any specific things that might be outliers out there that we need to pray for specifically. But I'm praying that the Lord will use this room then to that 9:30 time, because we already filled up the choir room. Amen. So I'm looking forward to that. But prayer is important. Prayer comes asking. So when you have a particular prayer request, be specific. You know, I try to be specific with our missionaries, and when they have a particular request, I try to pinpoint that request and make that a priority and a specific prayer for the week for that missionary. So as you know, last week we had the Harrises, and what were those three things that we were praying for the Harrises? Anybody remember the three P's? People, place, and a pastor. Amen. So hopefully this last week you guys, you know, soak that in prayer for Brother Harris, and I know that's really heavy on his heart. This week will be my parents, and next week we'll be talking about them, and of course, you know, my dad and his health and other things. But again, let's be specific in our prayer request. And number three, prayer contains appreciation, right? So verse number 6 of chapter 4 in Philippians, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. How many of you, and I think Pastor did mention this morning, how many of you are actually giving thanks to God when things are going good? You know, I hope you are. Hopefully you're giving thanks to God for the food that's on the table. You're giving thanks to God for the home that you are able to be in, the bed you can sleep in, the clothes that you wear, the food that we eat, the coffee we get to drink, amen. You know, those just, yes, sir, those little things are just little things. We should give thanks because, man, there's so many people out there that are not that fortunate. Even here in the United States of America, they are kids and families that are starving. And here we are sitting in a beautiful air conditioning room. We are blessed beyond measure. And I just want to make sure that when you are praying that you're also giving thanks. Number two is holy living. Oh, boy, holy living. So turn your Bibles to Romans. And we'll look at chapter 12, and we'll look, of course, also verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. I look at that and I think, wow, that's a lot there. But you know, a holy life is free from that which enslaves us and what is enslaving you. And a perfect cross-reference scripture for that is in 1 John. And you don't have to turn it if you like, but if you want to, you can, because, I mean, it's not me saying it, it's from what God's Word says. First John chapter 2, and you look at verse 15, and it says this, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many of us have actually, if you may or may have not seen it, but I think it's a great sign, if you're traveling eastbound on the interstate, right before you get off the quarter lane exit, the first one, there's a sign that says, are you having difficulties with lust? Give it to the Lord. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's so true. I mean, right there, it says it right there. If you're not living, if you're needing help to live a holy life, well, love the things not of the world. Don't. For the world that for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And let me tell you, man, you know this as much as I do. For you, some of you have been around longer than I have. It's just constantly coming at you from every single angle, in the workplace, outside of work. As soon as we leave church, we were running into things. Right? We've got to make sure that we're living a holy life. A holy life is committed to purity. So young folks, I'll tell you right now, there is nothing more important to live a pure life, because that will give God the glory for everything. And let me tell you, for you not to run into any issues in your life, I'm not saying you will, but God will look upon you if you stay pure until the day you get married, because the Lord will look upon that and be that. That'll be a blessing. So please remember that, young folks. A holy life is surrendered. Is a surrender life. A holy life is a surrender life. And lastly, a holy life is lived with purpose of glorifying God. If you are committed to living a holy life with purpose, you're going to give Him all the honor and glory for that, right? I like what 2 Corinthians says. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verses 9 and 10, I've actually kind of adopted these verses as somewhat my life verses when I've got diagnosed with MS back in 2018. Because just like Paul, right, his snare that he was dealing with, I praise God for what He has given me, because then I can look for Him for power and strength. Look at verse number 9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? Man, the stuff that we deal with in life, sicknesses, health, different things. Of course, you all know we've been praying for Shelly. This is her second round of dealing with cancer. You know what? She can lean on this verse and say, Lord, You can get me through this. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's in red letters from Jesus Christ. Man, a holy life is lived with purpose of glorifying God. Amen. I like what Brother Willette said, and I think that was one particular night. He said, are you walking in the flesh or are you walking in the Spirit? And I like his analogy, because he basically said, whatever situation you're coming up against or you're going to do, are you doing it in the Spirit or are you doing it in the flesh? Am I going to take this in the morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you read your Bible? Everybody has different preferences. I know the morning's good because you get a good start for the day, right? Reading this, or, where is it? There it is. Or starting the day looking at this. Man, this thing has gotten so bad. And I stand up here same way. I'm looking at emails, I'm looking at, then I get distracted with news, and then I get distracted with Facebook, and like, man, are you doing this in the flesh? Are you doing this in the Spirit? So the next time you are tempted to do either or, ask yourself, to live a holy life, are you doing it in the Spirit or are you doing it in the flesh? So when you pick up the phone, now these are not a bad thing, it's a good tool, but it can be used for the wrong thing. I hear crickets or something. Amen. Amen. And I like what it says here. In every task, ask the question, will this be done in the flesh or in the Spirit? The next step is achieving excellence. Can we achieve excellence? Yes. Yes. Can we strive to achieve excellence? Yes. Do you want to strive to be the best employee that you are for your employer? Yes. Do you want to be the best member for Cornerstone Baptist Church for God's glory? Yes. You do. You want to strive for excellence, but we know that we cannot be excellent, but our Lord Jesus Christ is, and we should strive to be like Him. Amen? I asked this question, how do you achieve excellence? And I said, I've got three things. If you take note of this, if you're taking notes. Number one, it's so easy, young folks. Avoid the bad. Just avoid the bad. Avoid the bad. Well, my friends are, you know, they're smoking, you know, they're you know, taking sips of, you know, drinks and alcohol, and it's fine. No, avoid the bad. Just avoid it. Avoid it. Just don't go there. Number two, let's see here. Implement the good. You're replacing the bad. You're not doing the bad. What do you need to do? You need to replace it. Replace it with something good. And who can give me some examples of replacing something good? What would be some good things? Helping people. Praying. Ministering to others. Reading your Bible. Woo! Man, yes, sir. Turning off the TV so you can do something else. Maybe listen to some godly music. Maybe reading the Bible. Reading a good book. Not watching TV. I am trying to do better, but sports is back on and football starting up again. So, yeah, amen. But yes. But yeah, replace it with something good. And number three, embrace the excellent. Embrace the excellent. What do you mean embrace the excellent? Well, add godly actions in your life. Well, how do you mean, how do I add godly actions? What is that? Well, let me tell you, here's a good one. Speak out for Christ. And turn your Bibles to Proverbs. Let's see here. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. It says this, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Speak out for Christ. Don't worry about what men may say. Just speak out for Christ. Don't worry about what your neighbor might say. Speak out for Christ. Don't matter what your teammate might say. Speak out for Christ. Because at the end of the day, what matters? It matters what he thinks. Not what my friend thinks or my neighbor thinks or whatever about me. It's because I'm doing it for him. So he is the one that I need to please. Speak out for Christ. Stand strong. Don't give in with challenges. And I'm going to read this to you here in a minute. But I saw this on the out in the foyer there. Really good stuff, but it just goes perfectly with what I'm talking about tonight. But stand strong. When you have the opportunity to witness, stand strong. When you have an opportunity to stand up for your faith, stand strong. When you have the opportunity to stand up for something that's wrong, stand strong. When you stand up against someone that's drinking that shouldn't be drinking, stand strong. You stand up for someone that's smoking that shouldn't be smoking, stand strong. Encourage them. Be for them. Help them. But don't do it. Stand strong. Stay humble. Be vigilant against pride. And this is perfect. If you were here for Sunday school this morning, Brother Gary talked about, of course, the whole armor of God, and that's Ephesians chapter 6. But, man, yeah, we've got to stay humble. We've got to stay vigilant. We've got to stay armored up. We've got to be ready for whatever might come at us. Because if we're doing what we're supposed to, we're speaking out for Christ, we're standing up for what's wrong. We've got to stay humble with all that coming at us. We've got to make sure that we have Ephesians 6 dialed in. Have to. No doubt. And then lastly is serve the King. We can achieve excellence by serving our greatest example, and that's our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Another great verse in that particular 6:33. I'll get there myself. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, efficient unto the day is the evil thereon." And let me tell you, back just to that point of standing strong and speaking out for Christ, and this is something that's been really on my heart, and I'm going to give just young folks just an example for all of us. And then hopefully this will prick your heart and it will kind of scare you a little bit, but we've got to do our part to spread the gospel. We've got to do our part to hand out tracts. We've got to do our part to, when we have the opportunity, to talk to somebody about Christ. I know in the workplace you're going to have to work around that, but let me tell you, if the Lord has pressed it on your heart to give someone a track, and you decided not to give them a track or decided not to take the next step and talk to them because you're afraid or you didn't pray, I want you to think about this. There's going to be a day, if they have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's going to be a day that you will meet Him and the Lord up in heaven. And I don't know how it's going to be, but the Lord might say, didn't you give the opportunity to talk to, you know, John Smith about the gospel and you didn't? And John Smith can say, yeah, I never heard. And you were the one responsible to give the gospel to that person and you did not. And then you see John Smith fall to the pit of hell for eternity. I'm telling you, that was just really pressing on me because I was thinking, man, and I've been guilty. And I don't know if you've heard this story before from me, but I used to travel Highway 141 in Montana between Kalispell going into Helena, and I'd drive that road all the time. And there was this little mom-and-pop mill, and there were people there because I know there's trucks there, and the trucks are always different. The Lord was pressing on my heart to always stop and give them the gospel and talk to them. I never did. And for some reason, that just has stuck with me. And I asked the Lord, you know, please, you know, forgive me for not doing what you've asked me to do, and that is to give the gospel to these people. And I didn't. Help us to learn from our mistakes and do what's right and give the gospel to those that are going to hell. Because there's a lot of people going to hell. There's a lot of people that are not in church, and they're probably not in church because they're not saved, and they need the Lord, they need us, they need the church. There's a lot of work to be done. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Don't settle with doing the minimal. Kids, young folks, school's starting here soon. Do not settle for doing the minimal. For those that are in work, don't settle for doing the minimal. I have been caught thinking about doing that myself, got to realize, put the effort in, do the right thing, and get it done. Do it the right thing. Don't settle for doing the minimal, right? And then lastly, be consecrated. Completely yield your will to God. Well, I don't know what my will is for God in my life. Well, come up front and get it settled and figure out what the Lord has for you. Look at Romans chapter 12. I've already kind of went there myself already, but well, of course, yeah, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. It's all he's asking you is that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for him. And I'll give you some points here in regards to what we need to do. But first of all, we need to yield our bodies, right? We are the temple. If you are saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within you. You are the temple. And we've got to take care of our bodies. We've got to take care of, you got to yield your will, right? You got to yield your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you mean by that? Here's a good example. I'll tell you a story. So back in the day, my dad was called to the mission field. And in 1984, we made our way to Costa Rica. And I was 7 at the time. My sister was, 3.5 or whatever. And my grandfather basically told my dad and said, listen, you can go to the mission field, but I don't want the grandkids to go, right? But then he said this, I would rather have you 3,000 miles away in God's will than next door and not. And it kind of stuck with me, and I kind of thought the same way. It's like, well, Father, for me to yield my children, or if my children want to serve the Lord and go somewhere else, well, then I need to yield them to you, and you do what you've called them to do. We need to be sure that, you know, for us that have still kids at home, that we just, yeah, yield them to what the Lord has for them. Amen? Right, Micah, Mason? Yep. Yes. Okay, you're paying attention. Okay. Yield your future, right? What does your plans look like for your life? Some of us are retired. You know, some of us have done, you know, our work for several years. Well, so you still have tomorrow, don't you? If the Lord tarries, you still have the next 2 or 3 weeks. If the Lord doesn't call you home, He still has plans for your life. You know, and that might be just being a prayer warrior. Who knows? Yield your position. Yield your position. And that position can be different things. It could be just at work. The Lord's calling you to do something different. Just yield your position to God and see what He has for you. Amen. And then yield your reputation. Jesus was our perfect example. And He was our perfect example. And that's the example that I wanted to give you. Don't worry about what your reputation might be. Or what others might think of you, because you're giving the gospel, you're doing what you're told from the Lord, whatever that might be, don't worry about your reputation. God will take care of you. I like what Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's perfect. Number 8, yield your possessions. I like my boats. I like my guns. I like my motorcycles. I like my cars. Whatever that might be, just yield it to God, because maybe one day He'll tell you to give that vehicle to somebody. I don't know. You never know, right? You never know. So yield your possessions to God. And then God will bless you for that. And I like what it says here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. "Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves and break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So I'll leave you with two questions. Am I committed to doing God's will no matter the cost? I don't know. I asked that question myself. Is my focus on pleasing Jesus more than pleasing myself or others? Jesus died for us. What can we do for Him? Psalms 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119, 105. Dear Father, again, we do thank You so much for this evening. Thank You for the opportunity You've given us. Help us to remember, Lord, that we don't need to be in a hurry to run this Christian race, but we do need to have perseverance. But, Lord, help us to achieve greatness. Help us to achieve excellence only through You, and help us to just strive for being the best that we can be for You, to live a holy life, to be in prayer, reading Your God's Word, speak to these. And Lord, I just pray that You help us tonight. Again, I thank You for the opportunity that You've given me to speak to these folks. Thank You for their faithfulness. Thank You for them for returning tonight. And Lord, we again just want to give from Your word, Your scripture, how to get saved. Show them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of You, Father, for what You've done for us in our lives. And Lord, as we sing this hymn, I pray that if there's anybody today that is struggling with any sin, any difficulties in their life, help them to get it right. Help them to have a good new week. Help them to just get started on living for You. And Lord, we just again thank You for Cornerstone Baptist Church. I pray You continue to bless it. Be with Pastor and give him just the direction where You see this church go. I pray that You just bless the members. Watch over each and every one of us tonight. And we again thank You for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother.